Thanks for coming, everybody. I am going to open us up with a prayer. Can everybody hear me? I don't have the mic on today. We're good? Okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, if there is any excellence in anything worthy of praise, help us to dwell on these things. Amen. I've got a scripture for us this morning, short and sweet. It's from Psalm 46:10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." I just want to take a moment to where we could all greet each other. I'm sure we did plenty of that as we were like 20 minutes late starting in typical fashion. But go ahead and stand up. We'll pass the peace of the Lord. And then Jeff has a couple more songs for us. Thanks very much for the music this morning, Jeff. So everybody stand. May the peace of the Lord be with you. This is great. We got babies wandering around everywhere. It's awesome. Jeff, were those last two songs ones that you were planning on doing or did because we couldn't figure out the screen?
No, I plan on doing
them. Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, I was just curious. Those are really fitting for what's some of the stuff I'm going to talk about. So, work of the Lord. Let's see. I'm just going to jump straight into it. It's my experience that which is essential in life rarely imposes itself. The ground of things, the undercurrent of life, what's most important and essential, rarely ever imposes itself. And I think this is because what's essential is vital, it's beautiful, it's true in and of itself, right? It doesn't need validation. It doesn't need affirmation. The things that are essential. That's why I could leave after we clean this morning, the building, right? I could leave and I could go up on a trail and then I could wander off that trail a mile and I could come to some little meadow where there's a good chance nobody will ever walk there this year, right? I'm off trail. I'm kind of out in the middle of nowhere and I can come up on the most incredibly beautiful wildflowers, right? Because they speak to something that's essential. They don't have to have the attention. They don't need anything. Just the essential things of life. They don't impose themselves on us, right? Wildflowers grow whether we're paying attention or not. And that's how the essential things of life are. Think of that story of the prophet of Elijah. If you're not familiar, he's like going to go out on this mountain to like be in the presence of God. And when he goes out, there's wind, and the story says there's this great wind or whirlwind, depending on translation, right? And when this great wind comes, God isn't in the wind. And then there's this big earthquake, and God isn't in the earthquake. And then there's this raging fire, and God isn't in the fire. And these things are all things that are imposing themselves on him, you know? But what's essential doesn't impose himself. You remember the story. After the wind and the earthquake and the fire, there's a whisper. And God's in the whisper. Because God doesn't need to impose God's self, right? So in the same way, on the opposite side of the coin, that which is unessential in life is most always imposing itself. And I think that's because things that are unessential are starving for affirmation, or they need attention to continue to exist. If they don't get affirmation, if they don't get the attention, then things that are unessential disappear, cease to be. So, for example, that's why when we quit doing what we're doing right now, in a little bit, we unsilence our phones, my guess is there's going to be a lot of beeps and whirs and dings, right? Most of which is a bunch of unessentials trying to grab your attention. That's why there's billboards on the interstate, right? like it's lined with billboards. They're screaming for your attention. They need your attention to exist. If nobody paid attention to billboards, they wouldn't be there, right? That's why certain soccer parents wreak interpersonal havoc over a game in which kids are just trying to have fun. Not that I have any experience with this, right? Because what's unessential just by nature of being unessential imposes itself on us in life. It has to continue to exist. I want you to imagine for a moment, hopefully way off in the future, you're deathly ill, right? You're in your last days, and you think, I'm going to write something to some friends and family just to kind of tell them what my perspective is now that my days are coming to an end. And I'm guessing that you probably wouldn't write stuff like, spend more time clicking headlines on your browser, or daily check your media or social media feeds, read every billboard, make sure your kid is the starting midfielder in the sixth grade soccer team, compare yourself to others, and listen to that voice in your head that says you aren't good enough. I'm guessing those wouldn't be the kinds of things you would write. Those are all unessential things, screaming for your attention. You'd most likely write of those things that whisper to us in life. Those things that don't constantly shout at us. You might say something like, set aside time for dinner with family. Or daily let people know how much they mean to you. Or live generously. Or think of good and beautiful things to add to the world and then do them. Or keep a daily record of what you're thankful for. Those are things that don't scream at us to be done. But those are the kinds of things that we find in that essential ground, that essential whisper in life. And if you're at the end of your life, those are the things you're probably trying to remind people to do. Well, I believe those essential things are all reflections of grace. And grace is God's vehicle. But it's interesting, it takes real intention to focus life on what's essential. Without that intention, we get carried away by everything that screams for our attention. And a question we could all ask ourselves often is, am I letting my actions and my feelings and thoughts and my experiences get pushed around by the unessential noise of life? Or am I living grounded in the essential? And it's typically not too hard to tell. So consider this morning, what do you do in your life to try to live from what's essential? So some of you know that I like to write. This winter, I wrote a bunch of short stories and essays, and I want to share one of those with you right now. Writing for me is one way to be reminded of the essential and to live in the essential. It's not something that everybody needs to do, so I'm not saying that you personally need to write or anything like that, nor am I saying that to be living from the essential that you need to do what I describe in this piece of writing I'm going to read. This is just one example. You know, we're all different and we all have our own ways of connecting to that essential, that vehicle of God, the grace that's in everything. So this is all just kind of like a reminder. Maybe it reminds or helps or inspires you to find your own avenues towards living from what's essential. So I just want to read, I don't know if this is a story or an essay. It's one or the other, or both. I'm going to read this to you. It's called The Morning News. It was a cricket, translucent green, hints of purple, maybe 2 inches long. I stood about 13,000 feet above sea level in an alpine basin, carpeted in fist-sized clumps of leaves sprouted with tiny blue flowers. Remnants of another time littered the ground. Rusted steel scraps, splintered gray planks of wood, shards of colored glass. The skull of a mountain goat joined the old mining relics, its horns slightly sunk in the soil. The summit of the mountain stood, surprisingly gentle, like a rolling hill, 1,000 feet above me. It was morning, calm. The storms that pummeled the mountain the night before were long gone. There were a few passing clouds, a cold breeze, lazy bees. The night before, when the storms came, my tent sounded like a freight train and leaned sideways with the wind. Gusts flattened it, pressing the walls hard against me, drenching my sleeping bag. Lightning burst white and bright as sunlight. There was so much of it that the night felt more like bright, flickering day than darkness interrupted by electricity. Twice I had to get out of the tent to pee and was met by others caught in the storm. The first was a llama. I could only guess it was very lost, as I was above tree line in Colorado and nowhere near a trail. The second was a coyote. It sat 30 yards away, staring at the tent, unaffected by the downpour and the thunder, as if it were sunny daylight. I woke before sunrise, half surprised I wasn't dead from a lightning strike, and feeling as if I'd seen two omens that I could not read in the llama and the coyote. After a couple handfuls of granola, I set out in the dark for the summit. It was raw cold, my breath a silver cloud, until a pink and pale light cracked the east. Alpine grass gave way to lichen-covered talus, and just before the summit, a rock moved from under where I was about to step. Only it wasn't a rock. It was a ptarmigan, camouflaged in the same blooming grays and whites of the fields of stones. I stopped and stared at it. Slowly, my eyes caught three other birds within a couple feet of me, each still as feathered stones. The summit was quiet and calm and cold, and the earth spilled out in ridges and peaks, crumpled up like paper for a fire, the sky nearly blue. I took my time at the top, let the sun push back the night and leak a cool heat into the dawn. Pikas chirped, hidden in the crags of boulders. A red-tailed hawk hummed circles below me. Then I went back to camp. That's where I saw the cricket. I had seen the dawn, the storm, the ptarmigans as stone, the hawk on the wing, and all the rest, strange and wonderful. But here, with colors of a sunsetting sea, was a cricket, beauty thrown upon a bug. I sat and stared, the glow of its skin rich as emerald. What world would waste such wonder on so small a thing? This world. I gawked, grateful, and did not rush to break camp. The breeze washed goosebumps over my arms, and somewhere, somebody was waking to the morning news. I just want to encourage us to do what we do to find that essential that's in life. That's all I want to share this morning. I'm going to open us up in a time of prayer. So let's pray. God, give us hearts that rest in that which is essential. Help our spirits set aside all that shouts and pleads for our attention and affirmation. Give us practices and intentions that center us in your grace and depth in our everyday. God, tune our hearts to your grace in the world for these next couple of minutes. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know Be still Be Heavenly Father, tune our hearts to your whisper. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.